If someone were to analyze our weekly worship services in their entirety, to identify reoccurring themes or to hone in on what's most important to us, I'm certain they would discover that the most prevalent theme is peace. We pray for peace, we sing about peace, we teach peace to our children, and we talk about peace. Every week we begin our worship by turning to our neighbors and saying, "Peace be with you," ensuring that peace echoes in the sanctuary at least 100 times every Sunday. And we do this because we follow Christ Jesus, the man, prophet, and son of God, whom we call the Prince of Peace, the peacemaker, who was sent to bring God's peace-filled kingdom here on earth. No matter what part of Jesus' life we are studying or which of his teachings we're learning, we usually manage to connect it back to peace. It's a core part of our shared faith. And yet, in the midst of the Gospel of Luke, we find this passage that is anything but peaceful. Jesus cries out, "Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No. I tell you, I have come instead to bring division. Households will be divided." Yikes. Kind of goes against everything that we're always talking about. And if this were the only passage we were to ever read out of the Bible, you'd start to wonder where all of our talk of peace comes from. Now, the same Gospel of Luke does contain other passages that directly speak of peace. It begins with the proclamation that Jesus will guide our feet in the way of peace. And at the end, Jesus appears to his followers and leaves them with a parting message, "Peace be with you." In between these verses, we hear example after example of Jesus feeding crowds, healing people, bringing the dead back to life, and cleansing lepers. The verses on peace and the ones on division form a tension with one another, creating a complex image of who Jesus is and what he represents. Now, the way that I have come to understand these two different images of the same Jesus is by dividing them into messages that are prescriptive and messages that are descriptive. So when Jesus proclaims peace and encourages people to love one another in radical ways, he is prescribing a new way of life for them. He prescribes generosity and compassion so that we might be in better relationship with one another and with God. He prescribes inclusion and care of the poor in order to make the world a better place, in order to help us live out the kingdom of God on this earth. When we evoke these messages that are so familiar and loved, we are naming our goals, who we are striving to be. Jesus understands that peace and love are not always how humans ground themselves. And so he prescribes a new foundation for us, a prescription that offers hope, wholeness, healing, and peace. In comparison, when Jesus talks of the divisions in families that he brings, it's more of a description of the way things already are. Who has not experienced discord with their family? Who has not experienced discord with their friends or coworkers, with their community, or even with their church or people in their church? Division is what too often defines us. We are quick to separate. We are quick to judge. We are quick to define ourselves as us versus them. Perhaps Jesus' words catch us so off guard because they are uncomfortably familiar. We often turn to Jesus to be our beacon of hope, our saving grace, But in this moment, he's holding up a mirror and describing what he sees around him in the world. Describing things as they are in that moment is often more difficult than looking at the way things could potentially be. But these two things must go hand in hand. Facing the divisions that exist among us, being real about the discord and the distance that exists, is necessary before we can move to a place of healing and connectedness. Without this description of the divisions that existed in the world and indeed still exist in our lives, any feeling of peace that we can find is really a false peace. In order to truly achieve peace and wholeness or reconciliation with those we are divided from, we must first be honest about the divisions that occur. We have to be willing to face ourselves and our own realities before we can begin to envision what that peace might look like. I believe that as a culture, we like to believe that denial and avoidance are helpful coping mechanisms. We are used to presenting our best selves as our only selves. All around us, we witness people projecting images of perfection out into the world, causing us to try to create that same impression of our own lives. And in the last 10 years, this has just been magnified by our projections on social media and the ways we have access to our lives. It's exhausting. And that's especially true in the example that is given to us in this passage, family. It's still relevant today. Because for many of us, family is the aspect in our life where we feel the most pressure to create peace and love in, or at least the image of absolute peace and love. Young parents feel pressured to have endless patience for their toddlers. Other parents feel like they're too quick to criticize their teenagers. And parents whose kids have long left home feel as if they have to project the image of high-achieving children out in the world who keep in touch as much as if they were still in the next room. And for children, be we young or grown, even when we have that nagging feeling of guilt that we aren't doing enough for our parents or aren't patient or kind enough to them, we'll more readily tell the world otherwise, professing the perfection of our relationships with our mothers and the respect and adoration we have for our fathers. And there's nothing wrong with these images. They are parts of the wholeness and peace that we work for, that Jesus has prescribed for us, but they're not always the full reality. Sometimes, families face difficult situations. Parents and children fight. Distance seems to be the best marker. Dysfunction reigns. We most often keep it inside, not daring to tell the world that sometimes our family struggles to be a family. Or that sometimes, even though we don't want to, we hurt each other. And that needs to be okay to say, too. Before we can work on healing our families and seeking peace for ourselves, we have to be able to describe them as they are. I believe that when Jesus says he's bringing division to families, he's really saying, I have the tools to help you create more peace and love in your life and in your families. I will offer you hope and love and mercy and healing. But in order to accept these gifts, you first need to admit that you are not completely okay, that your family is not perfect, and that sometimes they're not okay. I believe that Jesus is saying, I will bring division because I will hold a mirror up and help you look honestly at the mistakes you have made and the history that sometimes feels too painful to face. I will help you face it. I will bring the divisions to the front so that we can move forward. What Jesus is saying is that before he can prescribe a solution, he needs to describe the problem. Before you can accept his prescription, his solution, his peace, you need to face the divisions within yourself. Be honest with yourself, and then and only then, peace can come. Sometimes all it takes is the naming, the full truths of our relationships and all the complexities and complications, and then we're able to breathe a sigh of relief, moving forward towards something new. Describing our lives, our relationships, and our families as they are isn't all bad. There's much beauty to be found even in situations that might feel broken. Often it's in reflecting on the more challenging parts that we're able to see where we showed each other grace and mercy, and where God is working to move us toward love. When we talk about a world of peace or experiencing peace in our lives, we are pointing to the future. But we're able to do that because we already have glimpses of that peace among neighbors, between strangers, and in our families. Our goal is to build off those moments, to be tender in our brokenness and bold in proclaiming the parts of us that are already strong. So even though I'm not a parent myself, and my wife isn't, one of my wife's gifts is understanding child development and behavior. Working with and nurturing children and youth is her vocation and calling. One thing she has taught me is how to respond when a child of any age, 1 to 99, is upset. So when I see a kid who is upset, especially a young kid, my instinct is to comfort them by telling them that everything is okay or will be okay. I don't want to spend a lot of time on what's upsetting them because I get afraid that by talking about it or acknowledging it, they'll dwell there and get more upset. So Beth does the opposite. When one of the kids in our life is upset, she sits with them in that feeling. She asks questions about what is going on, and then she echoes back the emotions they express. She never offers a solution or tries to fix it. She doesn't deny the gravity of what they are feeling, even if it is little as a tantrum for not getting more Oreos. She sits there and describes with them what they are feeling. When I see her do this, I feel like she is a wizard, because somehow every time the kid walks away calmer and ready to regroup. All she does is let them know they are seen and understood, and from there they're able to pull themselves out of their pain in their own way. I think that so often as children, our realities and emotions were denied or quickly tried to make okay instead of just describing what we were feeling. That by the time we're adults, we find comfort in the denial when things feel difficult or upsetting. We no longer turn to the people around us to share the harder parts of our lives because we have been conditioned that that isn't okay to do. Jesus' words of division are harsh because it took bold words to break through to folks and to break those patterns. He isn't wishing pain and division on families. He was naming what was already there. And it's only in the naming of the fullness of our realities as individuals, as families, as communities, that we become free to struggle together toward something greater, toward love, towards hope, and towards peace. Amen.